fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Fashion.
Fashion?
It's fashion with Penelope Noir.
Morena. The snare gets old, the sting. We're both just like bobbling our heads like little bobble toys.
Kind of puts you in a good mood for the day.
It does, yeah.
Yep.
How's it going?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very well. Feeling refreshed after a little holiday, which is always nice.
Oh, that's good.
But it's very nice to be back as well. What are we talking about today?
I thought we'd do like a couple of weeks on perfume because it's such a big topic and it's quite interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know nothing about the like ins and outs of perfume, so I'm actually really fascinated to find out some more about it.
Yeah, so I thought today we could start off with the history.
Cool, good place to start.
Because it has quite a long history that spans many cultures.
Nice. We all like to smell.
Yes, I guess that's the thing, isn't it? It's kind of like, you know, it kind of started out as being, you know, a thing where it was, you know, kind of certain aromas was like burnt for religious and burial kind of
purposes.
Yes. So the first evidence of perfume is attributed to the ancient Egyptians in Mesopotamia. Used in religious ceremonies via burning incense spices, aromatic gums, myrrh and frankincense gathered from trees. So, and also the Egyptians, I didn't realise this, they were the first to invent glass.
Okay, I didn't know either of those facts. So they kind of came up with both the important things
and
for perfume.
One of the most common uses for the initial invention of glass was as perfume bottles.
There we go.
Yeah.
Good old ancient Egypt.
Yeah.
Providing alongside the pyramids, lots of other useful things.
Yeah, they did so much.
I know.
And apparently there's no ancient Egyptians left. Like they've got a different makeup to modern
genetic
Egyptians.
Nature. Yep. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. Of course, it started as religious and then it became an everyday wear item for the nobility. The elite in society would adorn themselves in like fragrances of lilies and other flowers. They were initially mixed in water or ointments and non-fragrant oils. But the world's first recorded chemist was a woman called Taputi, and she was a perfume maker, and she's mentioned in a tablet from 2 millennia BC from Mesopotamia.
Wow. That's pretty amazing that, A, we've got a tablet that's that old and that tells you that there was a chemist around. It's also pretty amazing that it was a woman, too.
Yeah, cool,
that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. And Taputi mixed and distilled flowers, oils, and calamus, which is a type of lily, with other aromatics and filtered them, like, several times. So she was kind of, like, distilling and that sort of thing.
Cool.
It's also believed that in India that they had perfume as far back as 3,300 BC, and they were used in tantric rituals.
Good morning.
It's also found in Chinese, Hindu, Arab, Roman, and Greek cultures. And recently, I think it was maybe 2003, the oldest perfumes were discovered in Cyprus by an archaeologist, and they were believed to be over 4,000 years old.
Wow.
And they found a factory that had over 60 stills and obviously specialised in the production of scents like coriander, laurel, myrtle, lavender and rosemary. And both Greeks and Romans carefully documented the recipes of their perfumes, and Romans are estimated to have used 2,800 tons of imported frankincense and 550 tons of myrrh a year.
It's kind of amazing when you think about these massive quantities of things being moved around at a time when technology was so completely different. It does kind of blow my mind a little bit.
Yeah, and I think, like, I don't know about other people's perceptions, but I think there weren't that many people around, but obviously there were a hell of a lot of people around, you know?
There's just a few people maybe hanging out.
But the Romans used them for, like, public bathhouses to scent the water.
Oh, of course, because they had all those big, communal bathing areas. Bathing.
But recently, too, they used one of those recipes to recreate one of those perfumes for an exhibition in Greece.
Did it smell like really weird? Because I can kind of imagine that what people like as a perfume scent has changed a lot across the course of history.
I'm going to imagine that they would have been way stronger.
Mm.
because of what they were, you know, because they were like disguising body odour and stuff like that.
Yeah, true.
Ancient Persians dominated the perfume trade for years. They were inventors of non-oil based perfumes. The Persian kings like Xerxes and stuff like that had signature scents that no one else was able to use.
Mm, very cool.
They had a Persian chemist, Ibn Sina, who introduced the process of extracting oils from flowers through distillation, which is the most commonly used process today.
Mm.
So that's pretty amazing.
That's pretty cool.
And he experimented with like rose water, which is, you know. So Persian and Arab chemists helped codify the production of perfume, and it spread throughout the classic world. But the rise of Christianity saw a decline in the use of perfume through the Dark Ages. I guess because they saw it as being like, you know, because they're Christian,
mm-hmm.
they saw the Muslim community as being wrong. So they were, you know.
So they were sort of like, oh, this is how we're different.
Yeah.
We don't smell nice.
Yeah.
We smell bad.
We don't bathe. But then it's also documented that crusaders began to bring fragrance-making materials back to Europe. And it's also believed that Hungarians produced the first modern perfume, which was made of scented oils blended in an alcohol solution. And it was known as Hungary water.
Mm.
And Queen Elizabeth of Hungary kind of,
popularised it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then Catherine de' Medici, who married Henry II of France.
She was quite glamorous, wasn't she, I think? She was quite a sort of glamour queen.
Yeah, she definitely brought, like, all the kind of new traditions and fashion into the French court. She had her perfumer called Rene the Florentine. His lab was connected to her private room, so no one could steal her perfume.
Whoa!
And that kind of instigated France being the capital of perfume.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Man, her room must smell so strong as well. She's got this little perfume lab. What's that? Is that your walk-in wardrobe? No, that's my perfume lab.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. But what's really weird is that they didn't... Okay, so they wore it as a fashion accessory. So they wore it on their body, wigs and clothing. Louis the 15th was basically known as the perfumed court. And they had perfumed furniture and all that kind of thing.
Right.
Because they still weren't bathing.
Oh,
you know,
just so many smells going on. It would be quite a lot for your poor head.
Oh my god, it's so weird. You see, you know, movies of Versailles and stuff like that. And
they look
like,
so glamorous.
It looks amazing, you know, but they were dirty and smelly and had rotten teeth and vermin in their wigs. And,
oh, yuck.
You know, it's just like, ugh.
No one wants vermin in their wig.
No.
Not a good time.
No.
Well, thank you. So this is part one of perfume. And what are we going to talk about next week?
So next week I thought we'd talk about, like, the strengths of perfumes and the terminology and maybe, like, some of the ingredients that are used or have been used in the past and now have to be made synthetically.
Cool. That sounds fantastic. Thank you very much,
no
Penelope
problem.
Noir.
That was Fashion with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.